Hi, my name's May, for those of you who don't know me. I was here a few weeks ago preaching, and last time I started off by moaning about how I had to go back and revise for a load of exams. Well, the good news is I've finished my degree now. Woo! Thank you! Thank you! It was a terrible month. You're seeing me, a changed woman. But I'm really excited to dig in tonight about God radically changing lives, because let me show you my revision timetable for the last month, because it's pretty depressing. It all crossed off, and let me tell you, every day my life felt radically the same. And I think that often we can get like that, whether it's at school or at work, and things can seem pretty repetitive. But the amazing thing about this passage is that it's going to show us that life with God is anything but. And the main challenge of this passage is whether we're allowing God to breathe life into our lives. And that might seem a bit silly on face value, because I hope everyone here right now is alive and breathing and ticking. I haven't lost any of you yet. But the thing is, Jesus says, I came to bring life and bring life to the full. And in Ezekiel, it shows us that we might be fully functional, really, on a day-to-day basis. But without the Spirit of God breathing life into us, we're dead. And we're going to dig into that a little deeper. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, then turn to Ezekiel 37, and I'm just going to read that now, starting at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you speak to us, you teach us, and you breathe life into all of us, God, and that you're here tonight wanting to do that tonight, God. So I pray that together we can learn what that means for us as we go into our weeks, God, and that you will speak to us. Amen. Let's start at the beginning of this chapter. And to put it into context, Ezekiel is experiencing this vision at a time of exile for Israel. The southern kingdom and Jerusalem were completely destroyed by the Babylonians, and Ezekiel himself is currently captive. This is a hopeless situation, Israel in exile. But in the very first verse, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And in the Old Testament, the hand of the Lord is often a symbol that God is intervening. God is present. So even in the first verse, we should be like, yes, this is an exciting time. God's going to do cool things. And then it says, he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. And we're like, yes, we like the Spirit. He does good stuff too. That's great. Sets me in the middle of the valley. What's going to happen? It was full of bones. And for anyone who's less familiar with this passage, that's the moment where we're like, hold up. Because you usually only see bones when you're watching a rendition of Hamlet or something's gone really wrong. And Shakespeare didn't write this. So I think we should be a bit alarmed that this vision is a valley of bones. Can you picture that? And Ezekiel's really emphasizing this here. It's full of bones. I saw a great many bones. Bones that were very dry. And if you start to think about that in the context of Israel's hopeless situation, what he's really saying is things have been this way for a while. You see, if it's dry, exposed bones on the floor of a valley, this wasn't a battle that finished yesterday. This is something that's been there for some time. And I don't know if you can think of any hopeless situations. Maybe it's current political turmoil, climate crisis, humanitarian crises, but things that have been going on for a while and you start to feel hopeless. Can God come into this situation? I did a class like a year ago on the Syrian conflict, and I genuinely thought going into that class I was going to learn everything, and we were told that we had to simulate a UN debate at the end of the 10 weeks, and I was like, great, whatever country I am, I'm going to be the one who sorts out Syria. Like, I've got this. It's so fine. I was Germany, and I didn't do anything. I came out of that course like, if I could be honest in my essays, I would write, this needs divine intervention. I was hopeless for that situation, and I knew more than when I started out. And as we're thinking about those things that do feel hopeless, and as Ezekiel is looking out to a valley of bones, God asks him, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says the thing that we're probably all thinking in this moment, which is pretty much, I have no idea. I don't know. But God says, hear my word. Hear my word. He interjects. He breaks in through Ezekiel's uncertainty. And the next verses, 5-7, are really pivotal because he says, I will make breath enter you. And breath is exactly the same word as Holy Spirit. I will make Holy Spirit enter you and you will come to life. And then I will attach tendons and flesh and skin, and all that stuff's really good and functional, and you need that. But again, he repeats, I will make breath, Holy Spirit, enter you. And that is what will bring life. Because all this middle stuff, the stuff that we do day to day without thinking, whether it's going to work or school, that's all good and functional. But that's not what is life-giving. And the thing is, these things have symbolic biblical importance. Like, I'm not dismissing them out of hand. Tendons symbolizing strength. Flesh, our humanness that Jesus puts on. Skin, our vulnerability. But all of that is good for nothing if there isn't the Holy Spirit sandwiching and covering all of that. And that's why I think it's quite funny that Ezekiel starts to do as God says and starts to prophesy to the bones, and the tendons and the flesh and all the functional stuff starts to appear, because he can't quite prophesy the breath, but he can do all the average stuff. And I think often as Christians, I know I can anyway, run into a situation and kind of fix a little bit and make it a little bit better, but I haven't fully stopped and fully brought the Holy Spirit in. When if you look at the Bible, that's what's going to change the situation. That's what's going to change lives. It reminds me of literally yesterday. I've been at home and our downstairs bathroom door is really jammed at the moment. So you kind of have to do like a Bond style body slam into the door to like get out after you've done your business. And I was trying to get out, but I'm pretty weak. I can't really do anything that involves any kind of physical strength. So from the outside, my dad could just hear me going, ugh! And I'm like just stuck in the toilet because I couldn't open the door. And I can hear him from the outside, just like getting the handle, just opening it as if nothing's wrong with the door. And I'm just there pretty embarrassed, like, thank you for letting me out. But the thing is, we are weak. Humans are weak. We can't do everything in our own strength. That's why we depend on God. He created us to be in relationship with him, to do things with him. And so God comes again and pretty much says exactly the same thing to Ezekiel as he said before. Prophesy to the breath and breathe into these slain that they may live. He's teaching Ezekiel because for whatever reason, God loves to use people to sort out situations when God could obviously just do it like that. But this time Ezekiel prophesies again and it starts to happen. Bones coming to life. People rising up out of nothing. A vast army. This is hope. There is hope for hopeless situations. And this is what God can do for us today. As Paul says in Ephesians 2:1-5, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace that you have been saved. And this is how we know he is God, because he saves and he restored. And this is lives radically changed. By God, with God, for God. And that's what happens, really, if you look throughout the Bible, every single time God encounters humanity. And it kind of puts things into perspective, because I know I can get so wrapped up in what God has or hasn't done in my day or my week that I'm not stepping back to look at what he's done in my life. And it does take stepping back. I went to a drawing class at the Scottish National Gallery, which makes me sound like a very fancy person, but this was a one-off, I promise you. But I went to this drawing class, and the instructor there, I thought I was doing a great job, by the way, like no drawing skills, haven't drawn in years, but I thought I was really nailing these sculptures. But he comes over to me and he looks at me out of a caring love, I like to believe, and he tells me to take two steps back. So I take two steps back, and then immediately two things become very clear. Number one, I've given one of the ladies a huge shoulder. She didn't deserve it. And the second thing is the importance of perspective, that I needed to step back and able to see my drawing way more clearly. He also said one other thing that was very useful for me, because whilst other people were kind of drawing the sculpture very much like an A4 size, when we had A3 paper, I'd gone completely the other way, and I was drawing these women so large that I couldn't fit their heads or their feet on. It was just their bodies. I'm not gifted in that way, but you know. But he made me feel really much better, because he said, no, everyone has a natural sense of scale. It's not you, it's just that the paper's too small for you. So it was the paper's fault that I was really bad, and that made me feel really good. And if any of you are artists, I don't want to hear that that's not true. I want to believe that. But as silly as that is, it's definitely true that God works on a much bigger scale than we do and has a much better perspective on the situation than we do. We're so close up thinking about the minutiae when God is engineering things perfectly. And I know that that's true in my life when I am able to look back on things. Like even the flat that I live in now, I was just looking to move into a nicer space, but I've actually had the privilege and joy of seeing one of my flatmates over the last 2 years come to know Jesus, and she got baptized at Easter, and it was so incredible. And I have it written here. She described it as a big step in claiming faith for herself and transitioning from knowing that Jesus died to her to feeling it in her heart. And that was God working on a much bigger scale than I anticipated and allowing me to have a part of that. And although that testimony is so wonderful, baptism and those first encounters with the Holy Spirit might be a long time ago for some people in this room. But the good thing is that God doesn't just come into our lives once when we first accept him. He's ready to change our lives radically every single day. And I think he mainly works on who we are in the world, how we see the world, and what we do in the world. I remember when I showed you my revision schedule at the beginning. If I'm honest, every day I was waking up, especially as you got to the last few days, with an internal groan, because I was like, this is all I've done for the last month. I've one day off, look at the 28th, shining like a beacon of hope. It seemed so far away by 2 weeks later. I was not interested in learning the back and forth of different scholars anymore. I was tired. But the thing is, I had totally the wrong perspective, and I only realized this right towards the end, that I was kind of looking at this and being like, this is what my life has been like for the past month, the past 4 years, my whole life. There is no end. But actually, if I rewrote that out, and I wrote what God has done every day in my life during this same time, that would look so different. Like, on that 28th, on that day off, God taught me so much about how he cares for people, children in the care system. And on the 30th, I was blessed with the kindness of strangers. And on the 2nd, I was challenged to share generosity with the homeless. And on the 5th, I saw how God brings together people from different circles of the church to fight for justice. And some of those days were incredible. And if I wrote that out, I wouldn't be waking up with an internal groan. I'd be waking up like, I can't wait to see what God is going to do today. And while some of that stuff is inner workings in me, a lot of that stuff is also how I should be living my life and how I should be viewing other people, because God works in that all the time. Because as Paul says, and this is 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one, Jesus, died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And living for Jesus means living by his teaching, living by justice, living by truth. Love your neighbor as yourself. So how do you look at people? When you're in a room full of people you know and you see one outsider, do you carry on talking to the people you know? Or do you see that God loves them and made them and breaks for their loneliness? His heart breaks for their loneliness. Or when you see someone hurting and in pain, does it seem like too much and so you back away? Or do you see how God is already there with them in their suffering? And when you see injustice, do you turn away because it doesn't affect you? Or do you run for it with God's fire and God's passion? And those things are big challenges, but the lucky thing is we're not doing them in our own strength. Ezekiel didn't bring some bones to life in his own strength. We're doing it with God, with God's strength. And when we start to do that, just like Ezekiel, we get to see God radically change people's lives through us. Isn't that so cool? It's such a blessing. One of my friends is one of the biggest justice warriors I've ever met. She is on fire for the Lord, and she is on fire for creation, and it's incredible. But a couple of years ago, she did a talk in my small group. I don't know if any of you have heard of like zero waste lifestyle, but it was on that, and it basically means you don't use any plastic, you don't put anything in the bin. And I thought this was going to be one long guilt trip for me about how terrible I am for the world. But actually it wasn't, because she wasn't speaking out of a condemning place, but out of her love that the Spirit had put in her for God's planet. And it was completely transformative. And I went home and my heart was pounding, and I was Googling all the essential questions that night, like, where can I get pasta without plastic? And zero waste people use loo roll. If you want to know the answers to that, you can come and ask me. We do use loo roll. But it was truly transformative, not just for me, but I've seen her change so many other people's hearts. And it's not her doing that in herself, but the way God has gifted her and inspired her. Because when the Spirit comes, we see the practical outworking of that in our lives. So where are you longing to see radical change? And how has God already equipped you to run towards that? Because God loves to use us. He loves to use us. Why? Well, God said he would restore Israel so that they would know he is God. And when God speaks, God does it. And he shows that he's a compassionate God. So whatever hopeless situation you were thinking of at the beginning, whatever, if it was political, if it was something much closer to home, God already cares so much more deeply about that time and about that situation. And he's waiting
to breathe the Spirit into us so that we can breathe it out. Because if all we do is breathe in the Spirit, then we're just going to balloon up and burst. This is how we were designed to be. We were designed to breathe out the Spirit into these situations. God knows how to turn a hopeless situation into a hopeful one. And he radically changes who we are, how we see the world, and what we do in the world. And that reflects the fact that Jesus died for us and the Spirit lives in us. So if you feel like you've never had your life radically changed by God, then I would encourage you tonight to get prayer and don't leave here until you've experienced that for the first time. But if you feel like that was a long time ago and you need the Spirit to breathe life into you again, then get prayer as well. Or during communion, ask God to be present for you, really present. Because God wants to transform and use every single one of us to bring life, to breathe out life, and bring his kingdom. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that the vision that you gave to Ezekiel is still so true for us today, Lord. I thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit, that you live inside of us and work through us. And we get to see the most incredible things that you're doing. We get to see you moving in our time where we live with people we love, God. So I pray you would send us out this week, knowing that our lives are radically changed by you. And that you long to change other people's lives too, through us. Amen.